God inspires the psalmist to tell us, "Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart and the company of the upright in the congregation." Welcome to the new year of 2023. Another year, don't forget, in the continued presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I can't think of a better way to begin a new year than to be right here with you in God's house. Doesn't happen very often that the first day of the new year happens to be on a Sunday, but it did happen this year. So, is that a good sign? It's absolutely, absolutely. What a joyous year we're going to have. Let me ask you, do you remember a time when boxed greeting cards, this is way back, used to always have the same inside, and it would say, "Merry Christmas, Happy New Year." Nobody remembers that? Gosh, I guess I am old. Okay, somebody else, please. I can remember cards used to say that. Well, you know what? I debated how to greet you this morning. I wasn't sure whether or not to say Merry Christmas, because it is obviously still Christmas, or the new year. The world has already turned the page on last year, and they probably turned the page on Christmas. You're not going to have anybody saying probably Merry Christmas to you anymore until next year. But hopefully you'll get a Happy New Year anyway. Do I dare ask you how you're doing on your New Year's resolutions? Keeping them all so far? Good. I love it. I love it. I think I'm doing pretty good, too, actually. You didn't stop making them, did you? Oh, come on. There's still time. Yeah, absolutely. We got until, I think, midnight tonight is kind of how it goes, right? This morning, we're all reminded of the fact that Mary kept what I would call a long-standing resolution. When she took her infant son, Jesus, to be circumcised. Yes, the sinless Son of God to be circumcised. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Mary kept the law of God. Looking at that one verse, and I'm not sure if there is, in our gospel lesson for any time, is only confined to one verse. But it is today, because this is the day of the circumcision of Jesus, the celebration of 8 days after his birth. But in that one verse, it's like God packing 10 pounds of salvation in a 5-pound bag. Let's take a look at it. His name is Jesus. Why the name Jesus? Let's start with being obedient to God. God sent his angel Gabriel from heaven to earth to both Mary and later on to Joseph separately. It wasn't a suggestion from God to say, "Why don't you call him Jesus?" No. This was God's son, born of Mary, for a specific purpose. God the Father sent God the Son, to save all people from the very wrath of God by forgiving us in Jesus Christ. Because that is what the Savior does. What about the significance of 8 days? Once again, obedience to God. Every male born, every male child chosen, people would be circumcised. Every one of them from the time of Abraham. And God said to Abraham, "This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised." The very word of God. Now, this visual of circumcision, when I first read this, that this was going to be the gospel, I couldn't help but think about a Christian Christmas movie that Linnell and I had watched. It was The Nativity. Now, the scene in particular that I'm talking about is the circumcision of John the Baptist. The maker of the movie zeroes in on the priest with a flint knife, okay? Don't show the baby, but they show him with the flint knife. And then the scene kind of pans to a couple of children in the back. They're just kind of doing one of these things, kind of looking to see what's kind of going on there. And immediately they look away and they cringe like this after this knife is applied. And the baby screams bloody murder. But circumcision was the visible sign of God's promise to send a Savior into the world. And God did that. God sent his only begotten Son. But why was circumcision necessary for the Son of God? To put it bluntly, God said so. Absolutely. It had to be done to every male child, and Mary is obedient to God. No questions asked. Just came natural for her. The only begotten Son of God, obedient to his Father, his blood was shed with a flint knife. Blood shed that would, however, point to the redemption of all believers in the final shedding of Jesus' blood on the cross. That shedding was for our eternal redemption. Conceived in the womb, Jesus' life began at conception. Conception by the Holy Spirit. Let me repeat that. Jesus' life began at conception. All life begins at conception. Period. That's God's message. So why is circumcision no longer required for us? Thanks be to God, right? Absolutely. For that answer, we turn to what God inspired the Apostle Paul to write to his church in Colossae. He writes, "In Jesus also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead." No longer is there a need for circumcision of the flesh. Because you see, in Jesus, God establishes a different circumcision, a different way to redeem his people. And it is called holy baptism. The same powerful hand of God that raises Jesus from the dead is at work in your baptism right now. Even though it was done a long time ago, it's working in you right this very moment. Because baptism resurrects new life in the Christian every moment of every day. This covenant of baptism with God is for all people, all men, all women, all children. Where the physical circumcision was a permanent mark on a male child, baptism is a permanent mark on you by the Holy Spirit, because now you belong to God. Baptism redeems you by the water and by the very word of God. I just thought about the fact that maybe we could come up with some resolutions to keep right now between us. What do you think? Something to kind of move forward with. Only with the help of Jesus, of course. One of those resolutions would be, let's be obedient to God. We can be obedient to God by keeping all of his commands. Don't head for the door yet. I'm not done. Hold on. But let me remind you of 10 resolutions that we could keep have no other gods. Don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. And the last two, do not covet what belongs to your neighbor. Now, if you can't remember those, and you don't have Luther's Catechism, you can, of course, look at Exodus 20 or Deuteronomy 5 to just kind of refresh your memory when you get home today. Yeah, what were those 10 resolutions we were going to keep? But you know what? God in his infinite wisdom and mercy makes it so much easier for us to keep these resolutions. Because he narrows it down to two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And the second, we all know it, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. Just two resolutions to keep. And now just imagine if this world, well, let's just start with us. If we in this world, in this new year and beyond, if we kept only these two resolutions, what would the world be like? And we can do it. We can do it through the obedient Son of God, through the power and might of God, who carries us through every moment of every day. The psalmist gives us a prophecy. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy, awesome is his name. Jesus is obedient to this word. Thank you, Jesus. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Have a blessed new year.